Well, hello, folks. Welcome back to the Mini PC Show. This is episode number 26. Tonight we've got Dor, fresh from the city of brotherly love, and myself, Eric Gardini, Dini Media, DiniMedia.com, one of the best websites on the internet, I've been told. How's it going tonight, Dor? And have you fully recovered from your trip?
I'm as recovered as I'm going to get, I will say that, but I think it was kind of funny. Martin Rambo Bando said, "You're at a conference? What conference are you at?" And when I was on Voxer replying to him, walking down the street in Philadelphia, as soon as I hit the button, I don't want to say bellhop, but a guy who works at the hotel, I believe, helping people with bags, and a random guy who parked the car in front of the hotel were screaming at the top of their lungs, "You son of a mother." And I just stood there for a couple of seconds to let Martin hear that.
Oh.
And I said, "I'm in the city of brotherly love. Can't you tell?" And they were just screaming, literally for like a minute, just screaming at each other. And then I just finally started walking. And when he pinged me back, he said, "Definitely sounds like you're in a city. I don't know about brotherly love."
Yeah, for those who aren't from the States who listen to this show or aren't familiar with the town, I guess, nicknames, the city of brotherly love in the United States is considered, that's Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And Dor, you were at a conference. What conference or what were you out there for?
The event was FossCon, FossCon. It's a conference put on by Jonathan Simpson for free and open software and hardware. Completely free event. It moved this year to the International House of Philadelphia. International House of Philadelphia, IHOP. So all I kept hearing people say was, "We're an IHOP, but I don't see no pancakes."
You got to say that for sure.
It was a very nice venue, very well set up, very well spaced out, not congested, very good rooms for presentations. It had a small vendor row, maybe 10 vendors, 15 vendors. But again, a completely free event in University City, Philadelphia, which is almost like a suburb, but it's still a city, because literally you walk out the door of the hotel, Drexel University is across the street. Penn University is right across the street in the other direction. And there was at least one or two other schools right there. And it was the kind of environment where you could walk 100 feet in any direction, and there'd be a place you could sit down and have a drink. And then walk another 100 feet, and there's another place you could sit down and have a drink. And every 200 feet, there would be a food place of some kind or another. And then scattered between them was everything from physical bookstores to little like pharmacies and little stores of the like. So it was a really nice area as far as I'm concerned. I was blown away because it was a free event, completely free event. You go to buy a ticket and it says it's free. And then if you want to donate money, you can, but it's completely free. And at the end of the whole event, which is a one-day event, they had to give away what was close to, if not more, than $200 worth of merchandise. Random t-shirts, random sweat jackets, and books. And I'm thinking to myself, how does a free event afford to be here and afford to give away stuff to its people? I've been to plenty of paid events where I don't get nothing except for a dirty look when I walk by somebody, you know?
Yeah.
And these people are giving away merch.
Did you?
So that kind of blew my mind.
Did you teach any classes or did you sit in any classes while you were there?
I actually sat in two. I think I sat in three, but I can't remember the third. There was one on a application called Jenkins, which is a continuous environment CI application. Basically an application that's supposed to be the hub and the spokes at the same time of a infrastructure to automatically build and deploy and test application development cycles. But you really could tweak it to basically do anything you wanted to that could be scriptable in an automated fashion. Very interesting piece of software, I'll say that. And then the keynote was by Elizabeth, I can't remember, who owns the domain princessleia.com.
Cool.
I don't know how she still owns that without Disney, whatever. But
without Disney she paying her lots of money for it,
right? Well, or suing her or whatever. She did a keynote on a community team organization project type stuff. And I just got to say this. She is one of the most intelligent people I've ever heard public speak. I mean, the way she was public speaking, if you did not understand her, you were not paying attention. She was speaking in such a clear manner. You knew exactly what she was trying to convey and the words that she was saying. And I think what she was saying, I don't know if she realized how much somebody like myself involved in community, podnuts.com, how much I was able to learn from her in such a very short amount of time. It was a great keynote.
So, okay, so it's like a community around Podnuts, not like a Skunk Works in somebody's garage where you got the locals all meeting on a Thursday night to do some, build something or something like that.
Well, what she used to work for Ubuntu. Now she works for OpenStack. What she was talking about was really more in the sense of software development teams and communities behind the teams. But the thing she was talking about, to me, could be taken to almost any type of organization or project type thing.
Hmm.
It was really good stuff.
Do you know, did they record any of these FOSCons?
Nope.
No? Okay.
They recorded nothing because, again, it's a very free conference, which means they do not have extraordinary budgets. They did not have hundreds of vendors. And he said a big vendor literally bailed on him the night before, or like the 11 days before the event. Mm. So I'm going to try to talk her into either sending me an audio file, I'll send her a mic, I don't care, and publishing that as a episode of Linux for the rest of us, or having her on a show somehow.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And talking about it. I'm going to try. But yeah, great event, great people. I cannot encourage people enough. Around middle to end of August next year, if you have the chance to be in Philadelphia, trust me when I tell you, a really good event, a really friendly event, filled with a lot of smart people.
Would you say the crowd there, would you say like similar to the Northwest Linux Fest?
Attitude-wise, it was a lot like that, but I would say probably a smaller.
Okay.
Somewhere, I would say probably above 200 to 300, but more than likely below 600 people.
Okay. Yeah. Northwest Linux Fest seemed more crowded than Ohio Linux Fest to me, but it's been a few years between for me, so I can't remember.
Well, OLF seems random how many people are going to be there, but Northwest, that vendor area, there was a hell of a lot of people stacked into that vendor area.
Yeah. Well, cool. So you, some of our friends you met out there, you did see Russ Winter out there, huh?
Russ the Beast Winter is one of the most humble, pleasant, friendly, knowledgeable guys I think I've ever met. And I was happy I was able to spend the weekend just BSing with him, having a good time, having a beer here and there, seeing a talk here and there, and just talking to smart people with him.
Cool. All right, Dor. Well, your escapades and your, we don't want to listen to you go to school all day. So do you get anything that has to do with mini PCs that you want to talk about this week?
Well, the first and most important thing is we are going to have a giveaway.
Ooh.
I don't know how many I'm going to give away. Because if you've been following me on Twitter, which, I mean, why haven't you? If you're not following me on Google Plus, why haven't you? And if you are following me on Facebook, why are you? I don't know. I got a gift, and I tried to pay, but he was very insistent. No, Richard Hughes was in, I believe, St. Louis for a couple days on a job, and he literally trolled Micro Center. And he went in like four micro centers till he finally got into a micro center where they said they don't care how many Raspberry Pi Zeros that he bought. And I got the impression he probably bought 10, if not more, total Raspberry Pi Zeros, and he sent me four of them.
Nice. Thank you, Richard.
One of them is already earmarked, going to go to Brian. Eric got one as a gift from Josh, our Canadian north of the border friend.
Yes. And I want to say real quickly, thank you very much, Josh. That's awesome. I totally didn't expect it. It showed up in the mail, and I immediately thanked Dor for it. And Dor's like, no, it wasn't for me, because it came shipped straight from the UK, so I had no idea who it was from. So, Yeah, thank you, Josh. That was cool.
Yeah, I told him I wouldn't say anything. So I then had three root free remaining. There's an unbelievably nice guy at work. I'm just gonna call him Ted. He is obviously been in a lot of environments in his life, and he has learned from probably every single one of them. When I talk to this guy, he just oozes experience and knowledge without being cocky whatsoever.
Do you call that a
So
TED
I, sh
Talk?
yeah, sure. And so I've been periodically showing him my mini computers, and every time I show him one, he has the enthusiasm of like a teenager seeing a girl take off her shirt for the first time or whatever.
Nice.
And then he keeps telling me he wants to set up a humidity sensor in his house that automatically turn on the fan when it gets too humid, I think it was.
Cool.
So I got these four Raspberry Pis, so I brought four of them in. Me being me, I pull one out of my backpack and I say, "Hey Ted, have you ever seen these before?" And he like looked at it and he said, and then he turned it over because all he saw was the sticker on the front. They turned it over and saw it was a computer and just started giggling, cackling, giggling. Like, this is, are you telling me this is a computer too? Because you look at the size of this thing. Look at this thing's ridiculous. And then he opens up the package and he looks at it. He's like, "I cannot believe this." So I was pointing out, here's the HDMI, here's the power, here's the one you hook up. And I held up a USB OTG cable. You hook that up to that, and then you can have all the ports you want. And here's this, and here's that. And he's like, "This is awesome." And I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is the exact size thing that I need." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, that's good, because I then reached in my backpack and I held up three more." And I said, "Because if you want that one, you can have that one." "Oh, Steve, I can't believe, no, Steve, I don't think I could take, Steve, I don't think I could take this from you." I said, "Of all the pain and suffering, of all the arguments you've been in, and all the insults you've taken at this place of work, it's the least I can do for you is to give you this kind of thing." "Oh, I can't believe you would do such a thing, Steve. I can't believe you would do this. This is like the, oh, this." And then he like turned to some people doing testing, and he said, "Hey, look, he just gave me this computer." Yeah, he was so happy. So he's going to turn into a humidity sensing project. So then we have two left. I would like to give both of them away. Now, my standard operating procedure, my SOP, is just you send me an email with the word zero giveaway in it, and you'll be entered. But I keep thinking I should make him do a little something extra,
Jumping
Eric.
through a hoop, huh?
I don't want to say, I'm tempted to say tweet mini PC show with a link to podnuts.com, and then like hashtag podnuts. There has to be a hashtag or something that I can search. That's what I'm thinking. But that's, do you think the email's enough? Because that just shows that they care. And I don't really want to turn our listeners into unpaid sponsors.
If you want to spread, dude, honestly, if somebody is scouring Twitter for the hashtag mini PC or something like that, they may want to at least listen to one episode of the show anyway, right?
True.
It's not going to kill
Okay.
them. It's not like we're shoving crap, like a bunch of ads or we're not talking about, iPod minis or something on the mini PC show. They're going to be slightly interested.
Okay, well, I'll put it like this. How about this? Any way a listener wants to enter, they can. On the social networks, not counting Facebook, because that's not a social network, that's a trolling network.
Yeah, I will never see it on Facebook myself
Right,
either.
but if you post it on Twitter or on Google Plus to the public, tag me in it, Door to Door Geek, or hashtag Podnuts. I'll do searches for that as well. Or if you want to, just send me an email. That is mini PC show at podnuts.com. If you're having trouble with that email, just shoot it to me at doordoorgeek@gmail.com, or just go to the website and hit contact and just put zero giveaway in the subject line of the email. If you do it by social media, make sure you do the hashtag Podnuts. Whatever way you're most comfortable with people, go ahead and enter. I will ask you, don't go ballistic and enter 45 times, because that's just trolling and spammy. But go ahead and enter for it, and if you enter four or five times, I'll count each one individually. Because I need to give these things away. I want to put them to a good home. Think of them like Cabbage Patch dolls, but cool.
And after you win, don't go ballistic and expect the thing to show up within 45 days, because Dora doesn't send things out that quick.
I didn't say it.
I did.
I'm just agreeing.
I've been on the receiving end of a door giveaway here or there. So.
Yes. And I really do like you.
Yeah. And he likes me. So, yeah. I think he's going to come around, though. He's probably got some stuff ordered from AMZ Review Trader or some Amazon thing that's just a perfect sleeve for putting these Pi Zeros in and mailing them back out. So he's just going to hang on to his envelopes, his padded envelopes, wrap them in a little bubble wrap, and get them out the door quickly as soon as you guys chime in, say that you want one. Sure, I have faith in your door.
Yeah. I'm glad somebody does. Can you talk to my wife? No, never mind. Okay, now the first actual topic I want to talk about real quick, it is technically a rehashing of a topic that we've already done, but I think it's really cool. A couple of shows ago, maybe 3 or 4 episodes ago, we talked about a Kickstarter project called Orion
Omega.
Omega. Thank you very much. Omega 2. And the Kickstarter was actually successful. Now, I will say Kickstarter is learning from crowdsupply.com that when the campaign is over, let people still pitch money in. Okay.
Yeah.
So if this sounded like a project that you wanted, you can still get in on it. You're not too late. Mega 2 was a super teeny tiny board that had a whole bunch of different docks you could get, and the docks included like VGA output or Ethernet or Bluetooth or VGA or HDMI or sensors or relay. I mean, a whole bunch of different things, but it was super cheap. I want to say it was $5.
The basic. Yep.
Yeah. So it is not too late. It is successfully funded. They got $672,000. Which hopefully that means they can be successful.
Yeah.
Maybe. That'd be good. They were only looking for $15,000. And again, they got $672,000. Do you think people really do want these things, Eric? What do you think?
Yeah. And they're saying they'll have them shipping in December. So that should be enough to get the presses going. Stamping them out.
Very cool. And yeah, and it looks like you can also get these on Indiegogo In Demand, which I believe is maybe the post-campaign fulfillment mechanism, which sounded like one of the most sterile things I've ever said in my life.
But yeah, that does appear to be the way you order them at this point. And you can start, you know, for $5 if you just want the card itself. And then you can add on the docks and the expansions, and you can get yourself all the way up to, it looks like 279. No, that's more than one of them. Okay, for $150, you get 2 Omega 2 pluses and then 10 of your choice of the docks or expansions. So there's a number of possibilities. You can, if you've got a specific project you're interested in, you can start, you know, with an Omega 2 plus one dock for $20.
Very cool. Let me see if I can find real quick. Okay. For those demanding extra projects, we have created the Omega 2 Plus. It uses the same chipset as the Omega 2, but has double the built-in storage and RAM. And on the top of that, there is a micro SD card slot built in.
Seems like a worthy $4 extra then. That's $9 for that one.
Yeah, I agree, because the original is a 400 megahertz computer. The Omega 2 Plus is 580 megahertz, so it's a faster processor. 64 megs of RAM versus 128 megs of RAM, double. And 16 megs of storage versus 32 megs of storage. And that micro SD slot, which I'm going to tell you right now, that's going to make things awfully dang convenient.
Oddly, it has 3 less GPIO pins than the other one.
Well, you know, 3 is the magic number after all.
Yeah, this is cool.
Yeah,
I remember this is the one that had the jam box. Had it hooked up to like a 1984 Panasonic jam box, turning it into some kind of an MP3 player. streaming music to it.
This is the kind of project I really do think has a very high chance to be like long-term successful and popular because of its simplicity. Because like when I was talking to Ted, he said, well, you know, he was a little bit concerned about the power for the hat and how that was going to work. He said, but I really don't know why I'm concerned, because even if I connect the thing and flick the switch and it catches on fire, I'm only out like $8.
when Ted gets his project done, I want to know, because I've got, well, you talk a little more about the Omega 2, but I've had an issue with my home that I think you just inspired me to find a use using a micro mini PC to fix.
Okay.
So we re-roofed our house 3 years ago. For some reason this year, it's not getting the ventilation up there that needs inside my attic. And it got so hot up there that my smoke alarms were going off. And there was no smoke. It was just heat. So we've got a little trap door that we don't go up there for nothing. All that's up there is a bunch of blown insulation and an old antenna that doesn't do nothing. So we popped a little porthole open where you would go up there, have, you know, if you had a reason to. And we just laid a box fan up there. And so we're pumping air-conditioned air up into the attic now to keep it cool. But to throw a mini PC up there with, or not, you keep the mini PC down low and a wire going up there to, you know, test with a sensor of temperature or humidity, whichever is what it needs. I think temperature would probably be good enough. And then turn that fan on and off as needed instead of it running constantly, blowing air up there.
Oh, yeah. Well, and the main thing I like about having the main computer not up there is you have to worry a little bit less about condensation causing a short.
I was more worried about running power up there.
Well, too. Yeah, that too.
There's no outlets or nothing. So yeah. So Ted, I could probably take Ted's code and just change it to a temperature sensor from a humidity sensor.
Well, and what I couldn't believe is Ted is a right now C# developer in .NET. For state averages, this guy is like the Babe Ruth of coding. You know what I mean? Hmm. Out in the real world, he's above average. You know, just, you know, a smart guy. And he said, well, I'm looking for OSs for this Raspberry Pi Zero, and I'm wondering, can I get Android on this thing? Android? You want to get Android on that thing? He said, yeah. I said, well, can I ask why? You want to get Android on this? He said, I'm trying to minimize the number of different operating systems in my environment. Well, hell, that's a really noble cause there, Ted. I said, but so you're an Android guy? He said, yeah. I just bought me and my kids full price Samsung Galaxy 7s.
Ooh.
I said, you spent like $1,400? He said, oh, most people, when I tell them that, they don't realize how expensive it is, but I see you do. And I said, yeah. You bought that? He said, yeah. I figured it was a really good phone, really, really, really nice phone. I could use that stylus.
Oh, so he got the Note 7s.
Sorry. Sweet. The Note 7s.
Ted is smart.
He is a smart fella, and I told him, I said, Ted, I'm really sorry, but this Raspberry Pi is a single processor with only 512 megs of RAM. Even if there was Android on it, I wouldn't suggest you run on it, but I'm pretty sure there is no Android for it. He said, ah, that's okay. It's okay. I've been running Debian every now and then. I said, you've been running what? I seriously didn't know what he said. He said, Debian. I said, you mean Debian? He said, is that what it's called? I said, well, that's what I call it. That's what I've heard it called before. I don't really hear people call it Debian.
I've never heard that either.
Yeah, so he's going to have a little bit of learning to do, but his coding ability, there's no doubt in my mind, he'll be able to put together in 20 minutes a 8-line Python script to handle all his needs.
Does Ted or anybody that you work with have any idea what you do on the side?
Oh, yeah, okay. A couple of them.
Did you happen to tell him that?
Well, Ted just flew to the Philippines maybe in April, and that's literally like a 18-hour trip. So he said, one of the things I did was I went on your website and I downloaded all of your mini PC shows for that flight over.
Oh.
And I said, well, Ted, I really do. I'm praying for your sanity, because that's a lot to listen to.
But if he's checking out Debian, he might, you know, there's other shows that you do. He might be interested in checking out.
I'll just say something tells me most of the things I talk about, he already, you know, kind of grocks. He doesn't need me to tell him.
Yeah. Well, you work with cool people, I got to say.
No. I work with one cool person. Well, okay, maybe three, but not that many.
Okay, the other two people who at work are now justified that listen.
Yeah, but they don't know who they are, so let's just go with that. Okay, and you did put a link in the notes as well, Eric.
I did.
Which I will say I'm happy that the Git Pocket /if-this-then-that thing was working for you.
Yeah, I didn't think it was. So I just read on this. It's over my head because I've never messed with Docker, but Raspberry Pi and Docker, this is from ZDNet, says tiny $35 computer gets major new release of HyperRiot OS, which I believe is server stuff.
See, I've never heard of this one. HyperRiot is available for the Raspberry Pi. By automating the creation and deployment of applications in containers or Docker containers, a lightweight form of virtualization, Docker is designed to free developers from software and infrastructure dependencies, cutting costs and creating efficiencies in the process. This is a fantastic find. I can tell you this right now. At the conference, I had two people ask me about Kubernetes and container virtualization on Pi type hardware, and I sent them everything I could find. I did not see this
one. One thing I noticed when I was reading through, I read this article, and I was still like, okay, I don't know what containers are. So, but Minnow Board Max is listed as one of the boards in here, and we met Minnow Board at Northwest Linux Fest. So I was inspired to see that they were here in this article. That was good to see.
Yeah, I'm happy to hear that they're still alive. Because if I'm not mistaken, they were the like over $100.
Yeah, they were. Boards. I believe they were Intel boards. But they were the mini PC that was at that show. So I was impressed that they showed up. You know what I mean? It had a nice LED display running off of a mini PC there, kind of showing it off a little bit, what it could do with it. It was cool. But that
very cool.
Yeah, I didn't realize. Did you know that Windows 10 has an IoT core branch now that you can put on these things?
Yeah, but it sucks.
Oh, I bet.
Because if you say that to anybody who knows Windows, they think, I can put Windows on it. No, you can't. What you can put on it is a...
It's like Windows. Remember back when they had Windows... I don't know, Windows...
RT.
No, I'm thinking they had the... The other thing that would run on
Windows Starter Edition?
No, it just ran on smaller things. Dang it. Can't remember what it's called now. They had
Windows CE?
Yeah, CE. So this is...
I was going to say, I'm going to have to get it right sooner or later.
You did. You nailed it. So this is like the CE, where people thought that Windows CE may have been... No, well, this isn't worse. Even that. No, I understand.
Worse.
Yeah, so it's not that.
Yeah.
But it's...
I'm going to use a word here that technically isn't family friendly, but it is technically accurate and it's technically not used in a cursing vernacular. It is a bastardized kernel. Okay. It is literally cut and maimed in order to become this IoT kernel. So all you literally get is a command line style interface into Windows. This is not Windows. This is a Windows compatible kernel that you can program against. And to me, to put that on the IoT device, it's literally, I mean, it's like cooking, it's like taking a pig and skinning it, and then taking all the meat off the bones, and then taking the bones and cooking them in a crock pot and calling it lunch. I mean, what's the point? What the hell are you trying to accomplish?
So you can put a little Windows emblem in the corner of something.
Yeah, it's stupid. I will say that Minnow, I'm really happy to see still around, and we need to give them another look over, see how they're doing. But the idea of virtualized container deployment, and especially managing those deployments and automating those deployments, that's really the trick there. And to do this on Pi type environment, I'm going to tell you right now, there's no doubt in my mind, there are more than one developer that would love to be able to say, you know, I can spend $100 on this box, not really care what's in the box, and it's actually two or three pies stacked in there, where I can have myself a virtual environment where I can on the fly spin up 15 different servers, three of them being database servers, three of them being web servers, three of them being API servers, three of them being intermediate servers, and just do all this kind of development processing work on low cost hardware. To me, the avenues available to developers right now, they're going to widen big time. Where right now they're driving pretty comfortable on like a 3 or 4 lane highway. In the next year, 2 years, a developer is literally going to have a 10 lane autobahn available to them, to where they're going to be able to do anything affordably in their own environment that then can be pushed to a public cloud and have everything work exactly the same.
That is the beauty of it right there in a nutshell.
Yeah, so I'm really happy that you brought this. I'm going to earmark this and I'm going to send it to at least one of those guys that was asking about it, because I'm sure their ears are going to perk up at least a little bit when I show them this.
One other little thing I wanted to bring from this article too. So this operating system is called Hyper Riot OS. Another operating system that I don't think we've really spoke about, which is also in this article, is Fuchsia from Google. Are you following that? Have you looked at that yet? Or are you excited or anything yet about?
Linux for the Rest of Us 199.5 was just me blathering on about Fuchsia. And I'm just going to say this right now. This is almost like ancient alien theorist talking.
With the hair and everything?
With the hair. Oh, weird. Where when someone asks me why something happened, I throw my hands up and say, aliens. I'm going to tell people right now in the most calm and convincing voice I can, be very worried about Google in the future. Fuchsia is going to be a right now, open project available that anyone can contribute to, in air quotes, on GitHub. But Google is going to control every bit of code that goes into Fuchsia, and more than likely, they're going to be the only ones who are actually going to be putting code into Fuchsia, which means at any point in time, they can completely change the license structure of the whole thing. Okay, now, what is Fuchsia? Fuchsia is a kernel. Fuchsia, if you dig into their documentation, it says very clearly, Fuchsia is designed to run on modern mobile phones and modern computers with modern processors and non-trivial amounts of RAM.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so it's not going to shock me within 5 years or so, all Android devices, all Chrome OS devices, all Chromecast devices, and quite possibly all internal Google servers will not be running on Linux, and they will all be running on Fuchsia. And when that happens, Google can then have an unhealthy advantage versus every other competitor in the market, and that's when Linux is going to be most vulnerable in its future. So this is a project, while right now I'll support to a degree, but I'm still going to support Linux more, and I'm looking at this Fuchsia very apprehensively, and it could just be some stupid, kooky old man in the corner with a gray beard drinking liquor, not knowing what he's talking about. But I don't trust where this can end up. And the thing is, I don't really know where it's going to end up. I'm just telling people I don't like where it could end up.
You know, I've been, I would say, as much or more than most people, all in when it comes to Google. I've given them every bit of information they've ever asked for. And I, you know, if you were to meet me 10 years ago, 8 years ago maybe, probably 10 years ago, I would have said, I was a paranoid kind of guy back then, I've got to say. I would not have given any company any of this information. I would not have went all in with any technology. I didn't even have a cell phone. So I see where it's going. And every now and then, Google will ask the question or put the thing in front of you that just gives you that feeling of, I see where door's going with this. So, at some point, you don't want to be all in with Google. And the more I get that feeling, the more it's almost, and you know, and you don't know why it happens or where the line is drawn, where they're too intrusive or have too much of your stuff. All you know and I don't know at this point if there's no turning back. I mean, they've got what I've got, what I've given them, which is my fingerprint and everything basically they've ever asked for. What can they do with it? Who knows? But yeah, you just get that weird feeling every now and then, almost like the phantom phone buzz in your pocket when you know your phone's laying on your desk. For some reason, it seems like it's ringing in your pocket and it's on vibrate. I don't know why my leg feels like that. I don't like it.
Yeah. And quite literally, I'm not asking people to believe what I just said. Take it as scripture and act upon it. I'm just telling people, think about these kind of things in every respect. Think of it as the most positive thing that's ever happened for humanity. And think of it as one of the most dangerous things that could have ever happened. Because I'm telling people, to a degree, this is another ancient astronaut theorist kind of thing, Eric. AI. I'm almost agreeing with the Tesla weenie guy, South American guy. AI is a very, very, very dangerous thing when it becomes an actual thing. The question is, who's going to be controlling the switches on the AI? Because in the beginning, AI has an opportunity to be owned and controlled by a single institution, a single entity, a single government, or a single company. And if that happens, that is a very dangerous thing. And Google starting a new kernel up, their complete AI could be based off of this new kernel, which is another very scary possibility of events.
Another thing, since we're beating on Google for just a second, I mean, love you, Google, but...
It's easy.
Yeah, well, they're making it easier because they're acting like Microsoft, quite frankly. I mean, they're taking products that people are using and destroying them right in front of the people, giving up on projects that are worthy to keep going. They're making money hand over fist, but yet they give up on things too easily, and they're just ruining things. I mean, Hangouts is one example. Tonight, we're doing this show via a product called Jitsi.org. We used to do it on Hangouts, but for some reason, they upgraded Hangouts to take away every option we used.
Yeah, and I feel almost like the husband who came home for weeks and weeks and weeks on end, knowing that my wife was cheating on me, it became time I did something before they made that final straw. So before Hangouts has the opportunity to kick me out on the curb, change the locks on the house, and take all of my good china and, you know, my computers, I'm moving out on Google Hangouts before it can do it to me.
Yeah, because when Doris told me that we weren't using Hangouts, I just assumed that that is what happened. Okay, they cut it off at the knees, made it this thing that does not work anymore the way we used to use it, and so they must have totally taken it away. That's why we're using this. But no, Dor, I like your style. I gotta say that. Thank you for beating them to it.
Right, and I'll say, if you want single person conversations, one to one conversations on mobile, any mobile, or on a desktop, and you don't want to use Duo, or you don't want to use Google Hangouts, or you don't want to use Skype, or you don't want to use FaceTime, or you don't want to use the one owned by Facebook.
Video Messenger, whatever they call it.
No, it's this stupid one that Brazil government tried to turn off.
Was it something they bought?
They've owned it for over a year now. I want to say WeChat, but that's not it.
I don't know.
It's the green icon that people have on their phones where they do the private chat.
Oh, but go ahead. It's not going to come to me fast enough. I don't understand.
If you don't want to use those services and you would like to use a service that is private, that is secure, and that is created by the guy who the brains behind the original Skype, you can use wire.com. I'm going to tell you people right now, for one-to-one chats, the quality is unsurpassable. Nothing I've seen works better than it. And it is completely private chat, end-to-end, endpoint-to-endpoint secure. And I don't trust most companies when they say that, but because of the guy behind this company, I do kind of trust this one.
And I got to say, if you're used to Skype, it's very, very similar to use this.
Yeah.
I was even. I used to. I don't know if Liam listens to the show, but I used to love talking to Liam all day when I had my computer shop and he had his. So, and I was always, for some reason, mildly impressed with the ringtone for Skype. And that one has, and the Wire has every bit as nice of a ringtone, for what it's worth. Some stupid little thing that I get impressed with, but you know, there's something to it. It's got, you know, it's like a pinstripe on a car. It's just a little something.
Yeah, and I still can't remember the name of the application that everybody's using.
Not Snapchat.
No, but it's in that same...
Is it We? I know it was supposed to be a very private and stuff, all that, right?
Oh, yeah. They just implemented the Whisper Systems Moxie Marlin Spike encryption mechanism end-to-end. And they were touting that. Where now Facebook can say, well, we can't decrypt anything. WhatsApp.
That's what it's called. Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah. Facebook, thank you. Facebook owns WhatsApp, and everyone who asked me to use WhatsApp, and I tell them that, they think I'm lying to them. No, go look it up. Facebook owns WhatsApp. Me no play. Get away. Okay. Were there any other things you felt like you wanted to bring this week, Eric?
Oh, I don't know. Let's see.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I did put both of these links in the chat, or in our notes. 213 and 214. These are the two links I set to my friend, and I consider him a really good friend, in fact, really nice guy, Nick. I sent him these two links. One is to a GitHub link, and the other one is to a blog.kubernetes.io link. Okay, really quick. Kubernetes is what I would consider a high-level management interface for infrastructure. And what I mean by that is you have, for instance, in a taxi company, you have the individual taxis that are going around town. Those are like the applications. Above that, you have the person scheduling everything for all the taxis.
The dispatcher.
That is almost like Docker containers. Okay. Above that, when you want to start getting into broader things like each dispatcher and all the different branch offices, that's when you get into Kubernetes, which I believe is, if not Red Hat owned, Red Hat is one of the biggest people pushing code to it. Kubernetes is that wide-scale management infrastructure of virtual containers and applications that, to be honest, we were missing for a long time. It's one thing to be able to spin up application instances. It's another thing to, on the fly, on demand, spin up entire data centers of infrastructure. And that's what Kubernetes allows you to do. Hypothetically, me and Eric made a new voice chat system based off the Pied Piper algorithm of the middle-out compression. And hypothetically, it gets really big in India. With something like Kubernetes, we could deploy complete server infrastructure into India in 6 seconds. And not have to take days and weeks of setup, of configuration, of all this kind of manual stuff. Kubernetes basically allows you to be able to say, increase our scope, increase the amount of servers we have, decrease the amount of servers we have, now connect to this other data center and spread the load between the... Kubernetes is a mass organization tool, is the way I'll put it. And you can now install it on ARM processors. This is when I was saying that the developers are going to have really powerful things at their fingertips. And I got to tell you guys, I'm really, really tempted to take off like a full week of work and just try to get some pies together and try to cluster them up and try to get this stuff up and running. But I just don't have the time.
Powerful? And I mean, the thing you said, you know, with the Pied Piper, for instance, how powerful can you get with 5 Raspberry Pis? And something like that. I mean, what's a realistic use case that you can think of for something like that?
A realistic use case would be, hypothetically, if you have like a DVD that you want to rip. You could probably rip the DVD, the entire DVD, in probably less than 10 minutes if you had like four of these things together in a correct cluster. What Kubernetes allows you to do is say, oh, well, now I would like to rip two DVDs at the same time. Take this same infrastructure, this same configuration, and duplicate it.
So that you're doing it at the same time because you need to right then. Okay. All right.
Kubernetes is one of those tools. There's another one that I can never remember what it's called, but Kubernetes seems to have right now have the momentum behind it. I do believe Google is also supporting code to it. They're putting code towards it, and Red Hat, I believe, is the big one putting code
And
towards it.
Kubernetes is, you can find that at blog.kubernetes.io.
Thank you, because every time I spell it to search it up for somebody, I'm never even close.
It's a tough word, yeah.
Kubernetes. Oh my Lord. This to me is the kind of thing where if you are 18, 17, 18, or 23, just getting ready to get out of college, you want to immediately increase your market value, learn the basics of Docker, learn the basics of Kubernetes, and your IT credibility will jump up a couple levels.
Smart advice, Dor.
Well, Now the last thing we got to mention is we on this show have been slightly hard, slightly abrasive, slightly direct about Intel, people using Intel chips. If you look at line 211, Eric, Lil Putin, one of my favorite websites ever, even more favorite than Dig back in the day. Lil Putin put out an article stating that the Intel Atom processor is in fact not dead. Lord Drakenblut Matthew Williams kind of told me a couple times, look, Thor, there's no way it's actually dead. If anything, they're just stop making these versions of them. They're going to make new versions of them. I said, dude, everything I'm reading is saying that they look like they're dead. Once again, just like tomorrow morning, the sun's going to come up. Well, once again, Door to Door Geek is wrong about something.
Oh,
And, I'm okay
don't
with
be so
that.
hard on yourself, man.
Oh, no. See, if there's one thing I learned, it's if you don't fail and if you're never wrong, people will never get behind you. People will never support you. People will never believe in you. Because if you've never been wrong, that just means you're getting ready to be wrong. So I'm okay with that. But it looks like Intel is not developing Atom chips for smartphone tablets low powered anymore, but at the Intel developer forum, they talked about a new chipset architecture called a Apollo Lake, which might possibly be the worst name ever given to a technology. I truly miss the days of Pentium 3. No, Pentium 2, Pentium 3, Pentium 4. You knew what you were getting.
To be fair, it's going to go Apollo Lake, Apollo Sea, and then Apollo Ocean are the coming ones afterwards to make so you know that they got better.
If they actually follow that, I will applaud that, Eric. So it looks like there's going to be a brand new chip coming forward. And I'm going to tell you guys right now, if you have any length of time at all paying attention to anything in technology, at any point in time in the last 30 plus years, the only consistent you can say is when Intel goes all in on a new chip form factor, brace yourself. They are going to take power consumption and they are going to reduce it substantially. They're going to take performance and they're going to push it up substantially, and they're going to try to make the chip as small as possible. Now, in the last couple of weeks, also, I don't know if you heard this, Eric, Intel is going to start to develop, I believe, was if I read it right, ARM chips. It's one of those things, if you can't beat them, join them kind of thing. Let me at least make money off of this. If that is in fact the case as well, let me tell you something. In the next year, Eric, you thought we had a busy year this last year in mini computers? Let me tell you something. That ain't nothing. Okay. When this new Intel chip comes out, and if Intel are making ARM chips in the next year, we are going to see substantially smaller computers with substantially more power. what we're going to have available to us in about a year is going to once again blow people's mind, where you're going to have a true webcam, but that webcam happens to have a quad core computer in it with 8 gigs of RAM at the same time.
I mean,
Wi-Fi, this is going to get and Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Who needs USB-C when everything's just connected? So, okay. You didn't like the name Apollo Lake Door?
Well, it reminded me too much of Apollo Creed and like drowning, like, you know, taking Apollo Creed to a lake and drowning him in it.
Okay, so, well, they changed the name of that, actually. Apollo Lake is going to be called Goldmont. I hope you like that better.
I don't know. I keep thinking of Shaquille O'Neal, retired NBA player, pushing Gold Bond.
So the microarchitecture is called Goldmont. So Bay Trail was Silvermont. Braswell was Airmont. Cherry Trail, that's the one that they just gave up on, was Airmont. Apollo Lake is going to be Goldmont for the microarchitecture. They are, with this, it's going to have the hardware codec, the more codecs enabling hardware accelerated playback of 4K video, and it's going to have some good storage. Apollo Lake will support traditional SATA drives, PCIe X4 drives, and eMMC 5.0, and will also support USB Type-C.
Wow. Yeah, and like two paragraphs from the bottom, Eric, in this Lilliputian article, it says Intel says the processors will use the latest version of the company's Gen 9 graphics, and Intel also plans to offer new developer tools in the media SDK for embedded Linux IoT. Which I immediately think of extremely small form factor computers kicking out better graphics. And honestly, the one place where I really wish Intel would start to breach is that higher end video capabilities.
Yeah.
I don't like NVIDIA and ATI basically owning that space, especially when ATI is maybe the most incompetent company I've ever heard in my life when it comes on Linux. Really, it's NVIDIA or nothing. Now, on Intel graphics, I've gotten some pretty good results. I've played Left 4 Dead. I played Distance. They play fine.
Pretty good, and that's what you're going to say. It's pretty good. Your frame rates aren't going to be where the others are, though. For some reason, they just haven't really focused there.
Well, right, but with these new small form factor computers supporting their latest technology, hopefully that means they'll be ready for the next technology as well.
One last thing about that Apollo Lake. There's also something called soldered on 802.11ac Wi-Fi. So that's nice, too.
That there is that fast Wi-Fi, Eric.
Yeah, I like fast Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
You also had one other thing. I don't know if you wanted to bring it up or not. The Raspberry Pi DOS box.
Honestly, I did not get time to look at this, but it's one of those things that I looked at for a split second and thought, Raspberry Pi DOS box, match made in heaven. Because DOS was I'll put it in the nicest way I can. It was a low resource driven system, you know. That was back in the day when 4 megabytes of RAM, you know, 16 megabytes of RAM was considered a multimedia computer.
Yeah.
So that definitely caught my eye. And only because literally last week I was emptying out some things in the garage, taking them to the dump, and I found one of those old 1990s CD sleeves, zipper things. And I opened it up and I started flipping through it, and I saw things like Madden 96, I think it was, Mech Warrior 2, yeah. Tomb Raider on, I'm like, did, hey, this brings back memories.
Did you have any free AOL CDs in there?
No, because I used to turn them into coasters. Yeah. Because I would sooner put my hand through a, you know, plate glass window than give Ted Turner money back in the day.
I wish I would have kept some of the tins and the cool things they sent to me over the years, though.
I will say yes. Yes. But I found old things like literally Windows 98 CDs. I mean, all kinds of stuff I never thought I would ever see again. And then I saw this Raspberry Pi DOSBox, and DOSBox will allow you to play those old DOS games. I don't want to say fairly easily, because there's definitely some stuff you got to do, some trickery you got to do, but you really could relive, quote unquote, the games back in the day. And here at the bottom of the, towards the bottom of this link at PiMyLifeUp.com, which I'm going to tell you guys right now, PiUpMyLife.com is absurdly filled with self-fulfilling ads. This is like prophecies of somebody tell you, you're going to listen to somebody telling you prophecies. You know what I mean? They're self-fulfilling ads for the most part. But they really do periodically put up really good pages. And the kind of games they say you can play on this DOSBox Raspberry Pi system is Doom. Of course, Doom. Of course, Doom. Oregon Trail, Prince of Persia, Quake, Lemmings, Arachnoid, Load Runner, Gauntlet, and dare I say, Leisure Suit Larry.
Oh, yeah. Which I never played until it came to the Xbox, so I don't know what the original's like. Hey, Dora, I know we're going long. I don't care. But can I read an email? Because this is one.
I forgot we did have emails.
Well, at least one, because this is one that we've talked about, seems like almost a month ago or so, and we both need to address this.
Okay, well, there's one more that I'm going to send to you. So as soon as you're done reading that email, there's one from a good friend that I would like you to read.
Okay, sure. Okay, this is from Allie P. And it says, hi, Mini PC crew. I've been listening to your podcast for the past few months, and I love the content of your show in general. But what Eric brought to the show today really made my ears perk up. I have had the same experience as Eric. Ooh, man, this could go anywhere right at this point, couldn't it? And I gotta find my spot again. I've met more than one person who says they know someone selling hacked Fire Sticks that run everything. I've never seen one of these sticks running with my own eyes, and the people selling the quote-unquote hacked sticks are usually trying to charge double the price of the standard Fire Stick. So I agree with Eric's philosophy that I'm not going to pay some random guy $30 to do it if I can do it myself. Okay, yeah, and he's absolutely right. When somebody had told me that they bought it off a dude, they did pay twice as much. I would love to hear what Eric finds out about these mythical Fire Sticks. I purchased one of the Fire Sticks that was on sale for $25 on Amazon Prime Day this year. And so far, I'm impressed with the stock interface. I've also been running Kodi via OpenELEC on Raspberry Pi 2 since I found out about the Pi 2 last year. I've listened to the Mini PC show and Android App Addicts long enough to know that I trust Eric and Dor's opinion. Ooh, wow. Trust.
Oh my lord.
Takes a lot to build trust.
That's a lot of pressure.
I don't know. You guys clearly know much more than me about Kodi and the user experience of running Kodi on many PCs. It would be cool if you guys could compare and contrast the quote-unquote hacked Kodi experience on the Fire Stick versus the Kodi experience on Raspberry Pi and other mini PC boards. I might be interested in modifying my Fire Stick, but if the modified sticks have the same Kodi capability as a Raspberry Pi, I think modifying my own Fire Stick would be a waste of time. You guys would be able to tell me if the Fire Stick route is worth my time if I already own a Pi. And that situation would probably apply to a lot of other listeners of your show. Thanks for all the hard work and time you put into making podcasts that teach me something new and entertain me every time I listen. Just FYI, I'm a male, and my name is pronounced the same way as the boxer Muhammad Ali. Sincerely, Ali P.
A.K.A. the greatest boxer that ever lived, and anyone who disputes that, Tyson was good, don't get me wrong, great, but Ali was it, man.
Yeah.
Okay, I do have experience with this, but I'm really interested, Eric, to ask you, do you have any experience with this?
I do, and I was gonna go the route of using my PC and really going into the hacking more, because there's more than one way to skin this cat. But then you put out a video that you watched, and I'm like, so I went the same way you did. Now for me, I don't know how smooth it went for you. Even the video and the the Android thing that opens it up.
He has file explorers?
No. If I was to use a computer to do it instead of just install sideloading ES file or sideloading things. Anyway, I didn't go. I went the route that I thought was easy, which was basically in which you download ES File Explorer from the Amazon Play Store, which then gives you a browser an option to open up these other things in a browser and install it. So it's not hacking is a loose term on this. I wouldn't call this hacking. I would really call it just installing some stuff on your Fire Stick. I mean, this is not booting and ROMing kind of stuff.
In the traditional definition of hacking, it is hacking. It is making something do it wasn't originally intended to do. But in the sense of Project Swordfish, sitting at a computer, seeing things in three-dimensional, build a virus, no, this is not hacking. This is just loading unsupported software and adding a lesser-known plugin into Kodi.
Now, there was some issues I had after I followed. And can you put that YouTube video in the show notes or something, maybe, Dor?
I really don't want to. What I'll tell everyone is if you just install Kodi and then if you just Google search fusion.tvaddons.ag, you'll get it. Basically, it's a two-step process. The first thing you have to do is add it as a source into Kodi, and then you basically load the wizard hub inside of Kodi, and then basically you're done. It literally is a two-step process after loading Kodi. It's not complicated.
Yeah, so I had issues, and I don't know if you did, Tudor. After I did everything, and I did everything correctly, Kodi wasn't showing up on my Fire Stick. It wasn't in my apps or nothing. So, and what it ended up being is, I don't know if it's because I used the Android App Store. I had installed Kodi in the past. You know, it was probably a free app of the day back in the day or something, you know, because I used to install everything that was the free app of the day when they offered it. But anyway, I had installed Kodi in the past, and because of that, I needed to go through some of my old Amazon settings. I needed to clear out. I needed to uninstall it and remove it from my apps list, I guess, somewhere. And then it worked. So if you have problems, do a Google search on that, because you can find other ways to get around that little problem.
Right, and I'll say the only reason to do it on a Fire Stick is because it's cheap and it comes with a remote control. There's nothing better about it. I will say Android on the Fire Stick is probably heavily optimized for that hardware. So it wouldn't shock me if you get a kind of good experience, except when it comes time to type out a name of something. If you want to search, for instance, Supernatural, and you want to watch episodes of Supernatural, you have to, every time you load the app, go in, load the video, load the plugin, load the search, or sometimes load the TV, then load the search, then type out Supernatural, then click the series title, then click the episode title, then click the stream, and then watch it. And I don't know if the remote is the best way to interface with that. I will say that.
And I don't have the voice and Amazon Fire Stick to say if that makes it better. I would say my Kodi experience on the Amazon Fire Stick, and I have not added any more add-ons than what that TV add-ons that Dora just mentioned gave. I haven't installed a bunch of other stuff. I can say that you can watch some pretty recent movies.
Or old.
I personally was hoping I would, don't judge me, but I like HGTV, probably more because I don't have it. I was hoping I could get some HGTV content off of Kodi, which there does, you know, and a lot of this is, I assume these are like BitTorrent streams that's going on, and there's no seeds and leeches for the HGTV content for some reason, like, you know, House Hunters or whatever I want to watch. So a lot of those things, it does not find a source, which, you know, whatever. If I'm not paying for it, I shouldn't be watching anyway.
Well, and every day you go in and do a search, you can find different results, because this basically is a customized, beautified torrent search engine that can also stream content to you. Because, like, for instance, my wife wanted to watch Supernatural season 11. It was only available for purchase for like $38. She was not willing to pay the $38, but she let me know very passionately that she wanted to watch it. Okay. So, and on any Android device, you can do this, basically. I loaded it on my Odroid C1. I just went in. I already had side apps available to me. I already had a browser installed. So I just went Kodi.tv/download, downloaded APK because I wanted the newest one possible because that typically has the best video support. I then installed it. I then went and added the sources of fusion.tv.ag, did that, went to plugins, selected Hub Wizard, click that. And then at the bottom, you have four icons when you click video available to you, or five. Exodus, stream all the sources, Velocity, a Apple make fun of network, like a movie and stuff like that. And then there was one more. And in those interfaces, they are extremely menu driven and extremely click heavy. No matter what you want to watch, it requires at minimum probably six clicks to get there and find it and launch it. Most of them, the search mechanism that was used, this is really smart. They used like an IMDb database. So it didn't matter what you searched for, if it was real, it could still possibly find it. But then when it came time to play the stream, that's when they went and searched sites like Ice Films and saw what streams were available and let you watch
Yeah,
it.
and you've got to pick out those streams too. It gives you a list of all these places to watch it from. You have to pick the. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, and I literally went and tried to watch everything I'm going to mention just to see if it would work. And everything I did try, I will tell you, worked. Maltese Falcon, Citizen Kane, My Crazy Summer, Easy Rider. Then I jumped and I said, let me see some things from the 90s. The first X-Men, Superman Returns, I believe it was called. I can't remember the horrible one with Kevin Spacey in it.
I don't know.
Then I jumped and I said, well, let me look for stuff like Deadpool. Let me look for things like John Wick. And they all, everything basically I was mentioning played, and it played at a surprisingly good level of quality. Then I searched for Finding Dory, which is still in the theaters here in the United States. So when I clicked play, it was obviously a handy cam from inside the theater and looked like poop. Okay. And then when my wife looked for Supernatural season 11, she watched the first episode. And then when she went to watch the second episode, none of the streams would play. So.
That's yeah, if you're grown accustomed to automatically playing the next episode or easily getting to the next episode, this takes that away. I mean, your kid ma, where your kids and your grandma try to use it, that the slickness of the Fire TV diminishes when you go this route.
Right, very quickly too. I'll say that very quickly. So for spousal approval, this might not be the best mechanism. Now, if they have a really increasing desire to watch something, though, they'll probably work their way through it. But like, it's a torrent, so every day you log in, every day you do a search, every day you can see different results. So for the first day she tried it, she couldn't get episode two, got upset, stopped watching it. Next day, she went in, searched for episode two. Episode two worked fine. Three worked fine. Couldn't find four. And then she was starting to get irate. So she basically stopped watching it. But for people to say you can watch anything is a bold-faced lie. If that was the case, there's a million shows I can tell you to look up that you're never gonna find. Shows like Digimon. It was a show from 1980. Voyagers, the show from the 80s. No, you're not going to find that. You know why? Because nobody's supposed it to watch. The more popular something is, the more likely you'll be able to watch it. Now, thankfully, at least one of them had What's Hot, I believe it was called, something like that,
Yes.
where you could see what everyone else was watching. Now, everything in that list was very easy.
Right.
Big icons, pretty movie poster things with words underneath them. Click that, bang, you're watching it.
Now the thing that worries me about everybody getting on these fire sticks and doing this is it almost doesn't support the BitTorrent client. The whole philosophy of BitTorrent is you're saving bits and pieces on your computer, and everybody's got a little bit of the TV show or movie on their computer, and when somebody calls it up, BitTorrent assembles it from all over the place, takes a little bit from all over here, and spins around in a big circle, makes a torrent, and goes right into your video monitor, and you're enjoying it. I don't see any of these Fire Sticks seeding or sharing the stream. And at some point, not everybody can be on the receiving end for BitTorrent to work correctly and to be efficient. You need to have the actual computers with the actual hard drives and everything for that backbone to be successful. Whether it's movies or whether it is, podcasts, or if it's the PowerPoint from the presentation the Door watched last weekend, if it's on a BitTorrent, you need the what they call seeds. You need those computers out there right. with working it the way it's supposed to be. Now, I do real quickly. Apple iTunes Podcasts is an add-on. I did add this add-on in Kodi because I was like, can I just listen to a podcast on Kodi on my Fire Stick? And Apple iTunes Podcasts works really well. It takes the iTunes library. It's by Tristan Fisher. It takes the iTunes library. You can quickly find all the podcasts you're used to listening to. I don't know if you're not going to subscribe to them. You're not going to automatically get the feeds into your Fire Stick, but you can go to the most recent episode of whatever podcast you want to listen to, preferably Linux for the Rest of Us, because that's the best podcast in the state line. But anyway.
No. And I'll say this. Here's a hidden feature you might not have known, Eric, okay? When you are in Kodi, you highlight video, you get the choices at the bottom. Go ahead and click any of them. Then when you're in the Kodi interface, bottom right-hand side, click the back arrow. You'll go to a listing of all the plugins. And what you didn't know was it actually installed 30-plus different sources where you could get content. Everything from Fox News, Fox Sports, the UFC channel, and things like that. But it also has three things in there. Two of them were called First Row Sports, and the other one was called, I believe, VIP Box. Now, with those, what you can do is you can open it up and then click a sport type. Baseball, football, American football, because really, football is not football, it's soccer. Football, American football, boxing, UFC, or whatever. Click it, and then you can watch live sporting events from around the globe. Or pay-per-views, whether it's professional wrestling pay-per-views, MMA pay-per-views, or Monday Night Football. And the quality I've gotten off of those sites are surprisingly well. So you go to any of those plugins, then click the back arrow on the bottom right, and you'll see VIP Sports and Front Row Sports. So I encourage, if people do download this and try it, check them out. And if you want the instructions to this, I'm not going to post them in the notes. This is how Door-to-Door Geek trolls you, the listener. If you want these directions, if you want this link to this YouTube video, send me an email. I'll shoot it to you. I would like to really be interested with how many people are this interested in trying this. Because if I don't get a single person asking me for this email, I'm never going to talk about this kind of
thing. And this was a half hour of... well, no, we answered an email, though. There's at least one for sure.
Right. Yes. And then we do have an email from Josh that I literally just forwarded to you.
Let me find as well. Which browser window I have my email in. Three dots. Okay. This is from Josh. Hey, fellas. First, I would like to thank you for the great work you do on the show. It is on my must-listen-to list, and I enjoy your banter and the information provided. This email is to bring attention to a... Oh, yes. Thank you, Dor. This email is to bring attention to a course that's being offered free of charge through Coursera. It's called The Raspberry Pi Platform and Python Programming for the Raspberry Pi. And it begins on August 29th, I believe. I have taken a few courses through Coursera and have found it to be a good platform to learn on. I have enrolled in this course to check it out, and if anyone else does, it would be great to know in the course message boards that they are listeners to PodNuts. Here's the link to the course, and it's www.coursera.org/learn/raspberry. What's that? Hash?
Dash.
Yeah, raspberry-pi-platform. It says, keep up the good work, mi amigos, Josh. Yes, thank you, Josh. This, very cool. I would love to watch. Now, is this, I'm not familiar with Coursera. Is this one day where it's like a webinar? You have to be there on logged in on that day and that time to take the course, or do you know this?
Looks like it's a weekly thing. So once a week, you basically log in, do the work, get the credit kind of thing. Coursera is a site. We are basically college educators, higher education educators, do this as a service for free. So I am really, really tempted to sign up for this thing and check it out just because it does sound cool. And I will say, Josh is the kind of guy, I'm going to tell everyone right now, this is the Josh that gave Eric the computer. This is the guy where I don't care what you're doing, he's the kind of guy who will add to a conversation in such a way that would make for inspiring conversation, but also for educational type of conversation. He's a really nice guy. Really stand-up guy is what I'm going to say. So thank you for this link, and expect to look at me being in this, and I'll do everything in my power, Josh, to not troll people. That's my promise to you.
So it'll be like, unlike all the other courses you go to.
No comment.
So, no, I would like to do this too. And Josh, yeah, thank you for the Pi Zero. And you are one of the top five reasons I would make it out to Northwest Linux Fest again. Because last time I let you down, I feel, and did not play Frisbee Golf with you when you went to play Frisbee Golf. I'd already walked like 7 miles that day and I was tired. But I do want to totally play a round of Frisbee Golf with Josh.
Well, but next year we're going to be mentally and physically ready to do it.
Yes, I didn't know what I was getting into out there. Now I know.
Right, and this show will be published before this course starts. So don't try to pitch me any excuses why you can't make it, people.
Now, it's a live course. You can't just like watch the video of the course afterwards.
I do believe it's published once a week. You at any point in time after that week can go back and watch it. I don't think there's any requirement you have to be there live. August 29th is a Monday. That's when the course is going to go live. I encourage people, click the link in the show, Coursera, check it out. When you do the sign up and when you sign up for the course, you have three options. One of them is to pay a lot of money and get certification. One of them is to pay a okay amount of money and be actively involved in the conversation during the course. And then the bottom one is the free one, where you're the guy at the back of the class. The teacher never calls on, you never put your hand up, but you still get all of the content delivered to you.
And this is taught by a guy named Ian Harris, and he's an associate professor in the Department of Computer Science at the University of California, Irvine. So that sounds pretty impressive to me. I've never been to a course at the University of California, Irvine before. So that's pretty cool. You can find it. And if you have a Facebook account, you can sign up with one click.
What account? I never heard of that before.
I'm signing up. Okay, Dor, do you have anything else tonight? I think we covered a lot, and I'm glad we got those emails in there too, because they were very timely and important items that I think the listeners needed to hear.
Yeah, I just want to thank you for your time and for your effort and for your dedication, Eric. And I want to thank Brian. Brian is going through a lot of stuff right now. He just moved. There's, I think, a couple things going on with his work as well. And I honestly, every time I ping him and I get the reply that he can't make it out, I get the impression there was some pain in that keyboard as he was typing. So I just want to let him know, if he listens to this, relax, Brian. Take a deep breath. PodNuts does not add stress to your life. Whenever you are available to come back, PodNuts will be here with open arms, with a jar of pickled eggs if you like them, and maybe a drink to cool your palate when you get back, and we will be here.
I heard of something called, have you ever, I don't know, you're probably far enough south, okra? Have you heard of okra?
Yes, I've heard of okra. It is the vegetable that goes into gumbo that is the thickening agent.
So at the local Walmart, somebody highly suggested I get the pickled okra because it's like dill pickles, but instead of the cucumbers, they put okra in there.
Oh, okay.
So, I haven't tried them. Maybe I'll report on that next week. But, hey, thank you guys for listening. If you guys want to reach out to us, check us out on the Google Plus. We've got a page for the Mini PC Show. If you want to reach out directly to me, you can Eric Ardini, A-R-D-U-I-N-I, and I'm in the Google Plus. Friend me, like me, love me, send me emojis, all that. Is that what you do, Dor?
A-R-U-D-N-I?
No, A-R-D-U-I-N-I. Did I say it too fast?
Yeah. I just wanted you to say it again, sir.
Yeah, that was pretty fast. All right. Well, thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next week.